How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Exclusively sponsored by the law firm Kondori & Murad, this is Grant and Danny. The stretch run, final half hour or so. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate admin, they do it all.
They are the best. Please, and we beg you, please, when you get in touch with them, schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
We're taking you up to about 620 or so. The big question is, Saturday's preseason game, will the Commanders be playing their starters? The momentum today was back toward Jaden Daniels taking part in the preseason game. And I say that based on the carded period at practice where they were clearly running a little Detroit scout team with him on the field and with the ones out there. Now, when I say the ones, that's not the ones that you think of, especially on defense. I think if you're Javon Kinlaw and you're healthy, maybe you play in this preseason game, the way Dan Quinn was talking. But if you are Adafe Owe or you're Kalavon Chaisson or you're Deron Payne and you're nursing an injury, you're obviously not going to be out there. Frankie Louvu and Sonny Styles, maybe you get to work together in the second level. In the safety position where you got Nick Cross, maybe he makes his debut because he's completely healthy. But by and large, they got 20 guys that are banged up. So I don't think people, if you're turning on the TV expecting to see all the starters, you're not going to get what you want. But at least based on today, doing some scout periods against what the Lions are going to be showing them, it felt like they were trending toward McLaurin and Diggs and Daniels and some of the guys that are healthy actually getting some reps. Is that a series? Is that a quarter? Is that a half? I guess we have no idea. I would lean a lot closer to a series probably, but after yesterday when they had the big practice and everyone was saying Jaden Daniels wasn't going to go, including me, to see them out there running against a Detroit scout team tells me we're trending toward something on Saturday.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of benefits. No one's saying go a half. No one's saying go three quarters or do something crazy and then, have a full padded practice the next day and do bull in the ring. Nobody's saying anything crazy like that, but there does need to be some, again, I just keep going back to last year, some urgency, and everyone's kind of laughing. They're like, yep, Jaden Daniels didn't throw a single pass in the preseason. Bring on the regular season. Put him in bubble wrap. That's a phrase I'm not really ready to hear for about anybody. I'm talking about Jaden Daniels. I don't think anybody should be in bubble wrap. Last year was so terrible. Please recognize that it's a burning ball of fire behind you that you have to distance yourself from in any means possible.
Preseason, week two, I'm going zero for the Hall of Fame game. Then last week was week one.
You do that college football week zero bit?
Yeah.
I'm with
that. So preseason week two kicks off tonight. Two games, Raiders, Texans, 49ers, Chargers. With that in mind, let's talk football. Some burning questions.
Hello, boys. Aaron Donald and the Rams continue to flirt with the possibility of him coming out of retirement to join Myles Garrett on their defensive line in a year where they already have the best odds to win the Super Bowl. Who's the actual biggest threat to the Rams?
That's a great question. Are we talking NFC, Dad, or are we saying overall?
Let's stick to the NFC side.
I'm going to go with Seattle. I think Seattle, the defending champions.
Still there.
I know how hard it is to repeat. I don't think they're going to. I know how hard it is to get back to the Super Bowl. I don't think they will. Sam Darnold being your quarterback probably makes it even harder, if I'm being honest, because he's in a new offense.
Yeah.
Now you have a coordinator and a play caller and Clint Kubiak who leaves, now the head coach of the Raiders. So Sam's got to kind of reinvent himself a little bit maybe. But I think Jaxon Smith-Njigba is a badass. Tobes and I were talking today about watching Hard Knocks Episode 3. What a great player he is. They ended up replacing Kenneth Walker and drafted a running back in the late first round. I think they're going to be in a really, really good spot to be good again. So if I'm looking at the NFC, I would say Seattle. I don't love Philly. This is not going to go over very well around these parts. Dallas, Detroit. I think the Rams are the best team. Gap Seattle, gap, and then either the Cowboys or the Lions for me.
I do too. The only argument I would make, I co-sign what you said, by the way, with Seattle. They're the two best teams, maybe the NFL, certainly in the NFC. I will give one nod to Philly because defensively, I don't think they're going to win a shootout against the Rams. I don't think they win a 33-31 game.
That's a great
I think
point.
they could bother you enough. They could hit Stafford enough times and grind it out maybe with a low possession type game.
That's probably also the thing that I'm not thinking enough about when I keep going hard about the Eagles, like being okay playing them week one, not thinking they're going to be great, thinking they're closer to 10 wins than 14 wins or whatever. is their defense is so good. Like, against this offensive line, the combination of Carter and big boy D-tackle.
Davis.
Davis, yeah. Carter and Davis on the interior of this, you know, offensive line. Allegretti with, like, four practices or Julian Good-Jones.
Good grief.
That's scary, man. It's just, so they're going to be okay in that matchup, I would say. They should still be favored. But I do think the Eagles' offense is going to be...
work in progress for a while.
Up to the run game. If they don't run it well with Saquon Barkley, I think they're going to be in trouble.
Deshaun Watson's going to take the field in front of Cleveland fans for the first time since 2024 when they host Buffalo this Saturday. And he said today that he doesn't care what reaction he gets from fans. What's your confidence level that Watson is actually still a good starting quarterback?
It's very low. It's nice that he doesn't care. I'm glad he won't care because he's going to get booed.
Did he say those words?
He did. They asked him.
Stupid thing to say.
They asked him what his what he thought about what the fans would react when he takes the field on Saturday, because it'd be the first time that he's taken the field since he tore his Achilles in front of them.
Yeah.
And he said he doesn't care. He's just worried about being the best player that he can be.
So the second part of that's great. What a dumb comment.
Yeah, because you have to insulate yourself, because the point is you're about to get booed vociferously.
And you're kind of trolling a little bit by saying, like, I'm not worried about the fans. But here's the comment that you should say. Well, look, I've worked really hard to come back. All I want to do is win for this fan base. They're very passionate. I love these fans. You know, hopefully they greet me well. Hoping for the best. Fingers crossed.
Especially when you have a fan base that's rooting for their Pro Bowl quarterback to win that job. You know, their Pro Bowl quarterback, Shedeur Sanders.
Talking about a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Who's their Pro Bowl quarterback? That's a good point, though. I mean,
their incumbent starter is a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Shedeur Sanders is outstanding. Mm-hmm. He certainly wasn't the 37th rated quarterback in the league via a lot of metrics last year.
No, he was not.
So I could see why Browns fans actually would prefer him to start.
My answer, by the way, is zero. Zero confidence in Deshaun Watson. The ship is sailed. Has sailed.
I don't even remember the question.
Is Deshaun Watson going to be ever any good again, ever?
No. Next.
Yep.
That's the worst quarterback competition ever.
It's pretty gross.
That's worse than Beck and Grossman. I'm not even joking. Deshaun Watson was the worst quarterback in Browns history statistically the last time we saw him, and that was two Achilles tears ago. Think about that. And he's competing against a guy that was awful last year. Awful. It's a bad competition.
Let's talk about some sophomore quarterbacks. Cam Ward, Tyler Shuck, Jackson Dart, Shedeur Sanders, all entering their second season. Which one has the best chance at success in 2026?
I'm sneaky on this Tyler Shuck bandwagon because I don't think that division's any good. I think the winner is going to win 8 or 9 games maybe, and they have to play each other. I think Tampa's weaker than they've been. I don't trust Atlanta to do anything other than show up for their games with a left-handed quarterback, but I like the skill guys around him. Now, I know Jordan Tyson not being available for extended time is going to hurt, but I like Etienne. I like Olave an awful lot. To me, this is one of those teams that are going to be fine, talking about New Orleans, and I think Shuck could have a nice year.
Shuck will have the best season, probably. He's got the best situation, maybe, offensively. I think Dart is right there with him, in a sense. The guy that's going to make the biggest strides is Cam Ward. I really liked what I saw from his demeanor, his makeup, and just the cloth he's cut from on the quarterback series on Netflix. He is very authentic. That's the word I would use. Like, he is a guy.
Yep.
Every interaction he has is like, this is me, man. This is what you're getting. Only 24 years old. They were terrible last year, 3-14, and he left a lot on the field. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't like he had a great season, completed 59% of his passes. But I think they actually did a pretty good job trying to help him. They drafted Carnell Tate in the first round, who's going to be a good player.
Who's drawn some pretty good reviews, yeah.
Yeah, Calvin Ridley and Wandell Robinson, who caught 100 balls for the Giants last year in that receiving core as well. I know they lose Chig Okonkwo at tight end, but they have three new starters on their offensive line. So you're talking about two new wide receivers, three new starters. They're trying to help him.
Yes.
Pretty good run game with Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears. And the other thing to remember is they made more moves on defense. They added more talent on defense than any team in the league, in both quantity and probably quality as well. And they hired Robert Saleh. So this is like the Jaden Daniels thing we talk about. I think he's going to benefit a lot from a better defense. He's also got new weapons. Ward will make the biggest leap for sure, which is going from a dreadful season to probably like a middle-of-the-pack type year.
Today, Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow said he's tired of saying next year and is trying to manifest a Bengals title run. What's the best and worst-case scenario for the Bengals in 2026?
assuming Joe Burrow's health, let's say, because I think the worst case scenario is the same thing happens. It seems to always happen,
yep.
Which is that he misses time or isn't able to stay on the field. But if he plays in 16, 17 games, the worst case scenario is he's outstanding. The offense is great. The defense doesn't improve enough. And, you know, despite 4,300 yards and 36 touchdowns from Joe Burrow, they miss the playoffs again. I think the best case scenario is they're playing in the Super Bowl. I really believe that. I mean, you've got a top four quarterback in football who right now is the most accurate quarterback in the history of the league, 68.5% over the span of six seasons, and who has led the league in yards. He's led the league in touchdowns. He's led the league in yards per game. And he's been a comeback player of the year. He's done it all. There's black ink, bold ink all over his PFR page. This is a future Hall of Fame type player. So when you have that kind of player at quarterback with the weapons they do, Ja'Marr Chase, maybe the best wide receiver in football, leading the way, you're going to score points. You're going to put up yards. The whole question is, did they fix the defense? Did they do enough on defense? But if they can get to the playoffs, Burrow can win you playoff games. He's that kind of player. We've seen it. He got to the Super Bowl the time that the defense didn't cost him the playoffs.
So assuming health, kind of to your point. So have that in the background, because you're right. If it's a Burrow health issue, then we're doing a Joe Flacco and the dancing backups thing again. No, thank you. But assuming health, the worst case scenario is their improvements to the defense don't improve it enough. Baltimore's better than I think they're going to be. And the division is really tough, and they're kind of in the hunt for the wild card. Best case scenario, they're a Super Bowl caliber team. And I don't think that's hyperbolic to say. I thought I was going to be on an island saying that. I thought I was going to be on Revis Island by myself saying that. But
why would you, though? I mean, again, how many teams can claim Mount Rushmore quarterback in 2026? Five tops.
Right?
There's four spots, and maybe there's an argument over who the last guy is or whatever.
Because you haven't had much success here the last 3 years with kind of this recipe. But I'm with you. I mean, it's not an offensive problem. I mean, they've started off really slow for whatever reason on both sides of the ball. But when you have Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Chase Brown, who's, I think, slept on, a bit underrated as kind of a do-everything Swiss Army knife back, to hang out next to Joe Burrow, who is, as you said, at the top of his game, an MVP candidate. If he's healthy, that is a Super Bowl caliber team. Whether they get there or not, you know, stuff happens, but that's their ceiling.
I think they probably just need to be 20th, 22nd on defense or something to be a playoff team.
Just be okay.
To get to the Super Bowl, they'd actually have to be pretty good on defense, and I don't see that happening.
Right.
I think what's likely is they make the playoffs. They get bounced in the first round or two. They did go trade for Dexter Lawrence. Remember, they gave up a top 10, 11 pick to do that.
Yeah.
They also brought in John Allen, the former commander, by way of Minnesota. Went to the Vikings for a year. Boy Mafe was a pretty good defensive end from the Seahawks. And then in the secondary, they have two new starters, Kyle Duggar from the Steelers, Brian Cook from the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah.
So I like him to win the division.
Pittsburgh's not going to. Now, I think Baltimore probably.
Everyone's back on Baltimore. I'm kind of going, in my view, everyone's way too forgiving and kind of looking past what happened last year like it was this weird aberration.
I love Jesse Minter.
I do too. I like him.
I thought that was the best coaching hire of the cycle, maybe, which is funny because I'm not always a big defensive-minded guy.
Mm-hmm.
But like, he's Mike McDonald 2.0. Mike McDonald was a hell of a hire for Seattle, as he's proven. Love watching him on Hard Knocks, by the way. But Lamar should have a big year. Minter gets that defense playing at a high level. Baltimore, there's no reason they shouldn't win the division. But I'm with you. It's those two teams, nobody else.
Patrick Mahomes pretty much would be the favorite for a comeback player of the year award. Give me your non-Mahomes choice for a potential comeback player of the year award in 2026.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Think about some options coming off injuries.
So first thing come to mind for me is Malik Nabers. That's he'd have a chance to, right? If he's healthy, but again, absolutely. Who knows if he's going to be or have enough time to do it. Kyler Murray is another name that's on odds boards as someone that kind of was away from things. I don't know, but Mahomes is obviously the clear favorite, right?
Yeah, I'm not too high on Murray there. Nabers would be a good answer. What about like Fred Warner for the San Francisco 49ers, assuming he could actually stay healthy? If he's the best player on an elite defense, assume as, you know, he may have gotten hurt while I was saying this because I've been talking for 10 seconds. But if he could play,
if they were practicing long, near the substation,
right? George Kittle, speaking of that substation, another guy, Daniel Jones of the Colts.
Yeah, you know who we overlooked? Jaden Daniels here in Washington, D.C. That wouldn't be a bad.
Seven games last year? I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he played a fraction of he played fewer games than Daniel Jones did.
True. Yeah. Jaden Daniels. That's probably the easiest answer. Where is he on odds boards?
Second. Behind Mahomes.
That was, okay. Yeah. Well, that checks out. So Mahomes, Daniels, Murray, Aaron Donald, 8-1 is interesting.
That's an interesting one.
Jones, Neighbors. Yeah, I mean, JD 5, good one. I guess the thing right in front of you sometimes you don't even notice.
The Jaguars have had Travis Hunter practicing mostly a cornerback so far this training camp. Are they making a mistake by not utilizing his two-way talents?
No, because it's obvious. Like, there's a Shohei thing happening here. There's only one Shohei Ohtani. Everyone always says, like, we found the next Shohei Ohtani.
You didn't.
Bryce Eldridge, who's a really good hitter for the San Francisco Giants, who played at Madison High School. There was a story in him in the Washington Post years ago. It was like America's Ohtani. Everyone who does two things, everyone's like, oh, you should get to do both. And then people can't. Brendan McKay, pitcher from Louisville, there's all these guys. There's been one of those. So this idea that he was going to do both, I always thought was kind of foolish. You could trot him out there as an athlete and let him do some things like Champ Bailey did at the end of a season under Steve Spurrier, or maybe do the Charles Woodson thing where, like, he gets a route or two in the red zone. But if you want him to be exceptional, when you draft a guy in the top five, he needs to focus on one of the two things. And I always thought corner better than receiver. Didn't really matter either way. Which would you prefer? Pick that one and then let him become one of the best at it by focusing on it all the time. So I think it should be like a 90-10 split or 100 to, you know, to an extra five or something where he plays all the snaps at corner and we'll give you 5 to 10 snaps at receiver and try to get the ball in your hands twice. Like, that's what I would be doing.
Yeah, the mistake isn't trying to help him play one better. The mistake was trading up to get him. That's as simple as it is for me. As enticing and intoxicating as the player was, who was more talented than that guy? Just a reminder, the NFL, so bleeping hard. Cleveland, by the way, both teams actually made out fine because they got Travis Hunter. They ended up with Bashaul Tuten, who's probably going to be their starting running back this coming year. But Cleveland ended up with a couple nice pieces as well with an extra second-round pick and last year's first-rounder they used on KC Concepcion, who is all the rave of Browns camp.
Yeah. The package, though, you're right. It's going to age very poorly. If he doesn't become a stellar cornerback, this is going to age very badly. The Jaguars sent the number 5 pick, the number 36 pick just outside of the first round, then a fourth rounder, and a future first, it was this year's first, to move up 3 spots to get him. And they ended up getting like a, you know, fourth round pick and a sixth round pick or something back. But basically you're talking about the 5th, the 36th, a fourth, and a future one to go up 3 spots. That's a boatload. So this has to work for them.
Does Jeremiah Love already have the Offensive Rookie of the Year award on his mantle, or can someone surprise enough to surpass him?
Well, right now, he's got a heating pad on his mantle because he's got an injury already. Because didn't he get like 15 carries in their preseason opener?
He got a lot.
I think it was 13 plus.
Yeah, it was a bunch.
Wild. I think, first off, you got to ask yourself, does a quarterback play enough? You have a Heisman Trophy winning 1-1 in Fernando Mendoza. Now, I know that they've told Kirk Cousins and then they've told everybody, you know, you're going to be the starter here. Everybody says that all the time. How many teams at number 1 overall take a QB, especially one that just won the Heisman and a national championship, and that guy doesn't play in the first half of the season? So I would actually take what I think is a really good bet right now, 5-1, 550-1, depending on where you're betting. And I would take Fernando Mendoza because you got the HOV lane as a QB. Now, if Cousins can fend him off for 10 or 12 weeks, you're screwed. But if he's out there in week 4 or 5, which is the norm, he should theoretically run away with this thing. The only other, if it's not Love, it would be what, Carnell Tate or Jadarian Price from Seattle. So I think Love's the odds-on favorite if Mendoza doesn't get the reps. But I think you always bet on the quarterback.
That's you stole the thunder right there at the end of who I was going to think about going with right there. It's if Mendoza gets enough chances, and I don't know how they're going to do it. It's murky to me. And they say one thing, but as you said, it's going to be a matter of time before it happens. Tate's drawn rave reviews. The only other name I'd offer is Deshaun Stribling in San Francisco, because everybody that's ever played there has been hurt, and he's not currently hurt, I don't think. But he can catch some passes. He might be pretty good.
In a world where a quarterback didn't win MVP in 2026, somewhere out there in the multiverse, who would be the MVP in 2026? Non-quarterback.
Non-quarterback division. I can only think of quarterbacks winning the thing. All right.
I'll give you one. I mean, again, non-QB, which is not how this works. I would say I'll go Saquon Barkley because I think the only way the Eagles end up in the Super Bowl mix is if he goes ham sandwich, like 1,700, 1,800 yards, something like that. I think it would have to be that caliber of a season. I'll give you one other one. I'll say Puka Nacua. from the Rams.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Here's the way I see that.
Right.
Stafford gets hurt. Ty Simpson comes in, has like a really solid rookie year or whatever. And Puka Nacua has like 1,700 receiving yards, and the Rams go 13-4 with a rookie quarterback, and everyone's like, Puka Nacua is the reason that they stayed on the tracks.
The only other this is so far-fetched, because again, the quarterback odds for MVP odds, it's like 1 through 13 quarterbacks, and then it's everybody else, just kind of the nature of the league right now. Let's say Atlanta has a dream season somehow, someway, and the rest of that division stinks. They win 11 games, and maybe they're not 11 win good, but they win a couple by, you know, the skin of their teeth, et cetera. And Bijan Robinson has 2,200 total yards and 18 touchdowns. Maybe that's the scenario. That's the only other name I can think of.
To my knowledge, I mean, looking at the odds in front of me, he has the best odds of any non-quarterback. I think just because he's the best player in the league,
right,
that isn't a quarterback. But that's a bad team with bad quarterbacks.
Yep.
We'll probably have a losing record.
That's my thought.
But, yeah, I mean, there's a reason why he's the considered the most likely non-QB to win the award. It's just because he's the best player that touches the ball the most. He is awesome to watch, by the way. I love Bijan Robinson.
Why do you like him?
It's fun.
Is it the speed and the agility and the quickness and the power?
The fact that nobody can tackle him.
Yeah, it's hard to tackle him.
Have you had any fantasy drafts yet?
No.
I am the king of never doing fantasy drafts early, which I love. But I always feel like, because until I get into the mode of like studying drafts, I never really have a good feel on like who's going one. I would imagine it's him, right?
Him, like, or Gibbs. Depends on your league.
Him or Jameer?
Yeah.
Is Chase in that discussion with anybody or no?
For 1-1?
Yeah.
No.
In like PPR league?
I've not seen it. I mean, it's not like his ADP is lower than 3 or 4, but yeah, it's those two guys 1-2.
The Grant and Danny Listener League is going to be back. We're working out all the details as we get closer.
Adults are being spoken to about it, yeah.
Draft season. That's one of those things that's outside of our purview. Right? We need grown-ups to make grown-up decisions.
And tell us exactly where to be and when to be there.
Thanks to Strobes. I think he was like dog sitting today. Did I see a picture of him with a dog? Good for him.
Good for you, Strobes.
Yeah.
Still doing the gig while hanging out with the dog.
Dog guy. That's silly. That's double dipping right there.
How about
Strobes.
That?
He's got a dog, probably some cash coming in there. He's got a job, cash coming in there. And he's like selling baseball cards for another couple bucks. I don't know if he's doing that. I just made that
up. Yeah, I was going to say, doing a lemonade stand.
Triple dip.
In the rain.
Did he have a lemonade stand today? In the rain?
In the rain. He did it, yeah.
He was getting 4 incomes at once.
Right by the Gary.
That guy is rolling in the dough. For Toby and Darris, Grant and Danny saying so long. We are back at 2 o'clock. Tover time comes your way next.
Thank you for coming.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.